We trust that you will be blessed tonight as we're gathered under God's word. I want to read from Matthew's Gospel again, and this time in chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and we'll read right down from verse 1 to verse number 20. I was just saying in the car as we're bringing some folks up from Cumnock that the Bible is really more up to date than the newspapers. Because the message of the Bible never really grows old. It never becomes irrelevant. And the story that we're going to read tonight is as relevant in the 21st century as it was in the first century when the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth. And we're going to read this story and we're going to apply it to our lives tonight in the year 2002. It says, and they came over, that is the Lord Jesus and his disciples, they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he said, and he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us unto the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, that is to the Lord Jesus, to pray him to depart out of their course. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you, and hath a compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And again, we just look to God to really bless the words that we've read tonight to our hearts. Really, the individual that we're going to look at tonight is a very sad individual. He's an individual that was really bound by the power of Satan. The power of Satan had bound him. And all the powers of society had failed him. But praise God, the power of Christ delivered him. And you know, there are many people tonight in New Cumnock, in the area round about, and the power of Satan has bound them. They're in chains tonight. And chains to addiction, and chains to lust, and chains to greed, and selfishness, and deceit, and corruption. Multitudes all around us tonight, and they're in chains. The power of Satan has bound them. And sadly, the powers of society have failed them. And there's many people in their tongue here, there, and everywhere, looking for an answer to their problem. Seeking a way out of their misery and their distress. And they've tried this and they've tried that, and everything that has been offered has failed. The power of Satan has bound them. The powers of society has failed them. But praise God, like this man, the power of Christ can deliver. The hymn writer says, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. That's what we're praying for in the meeting time. That some dear soul in our gathering would experience the power of the Lord Jesus in their life to break the power of sin set them gloriously and wonderfully. But it's great to be free. I remember a few years ago, you know, that was all that was in the headlines. Remember, it was the fall of the Berlin Wall, and communism had fallen, and people were free. And you think back to your television screens and think back to your newspapers and see the joy and the delight on the faces of men and women. For years they've been in bondage to communism, and suddenly they were free. Wonderful liberty. You free today? Well, not free from communism. Not free from prison. But have you known freedom from the power of sin and the power of Satan in your life? I got a letter just the other day there from a man in a Christian rehab down in Kelso, and he wrote a little verse at the top of the letter, and it was this: stand fast, therefore, in the liberty and the freedom wherewith Christ has made you free. My friend, do you know anything about the freedom that Christ gives? Do you know anything of the delivering power of the Lord Jesus in your life, breaking the chains of sin and the chains of addiction, and setting you free, and bringing you into His glorious and wonderful liberty? The power of Satan had burned them, and all the powers of society had failed them. He was a hopeless, helpless wreck until the power of Christ delivered him. Let's look at him today. The Bible tells us what he had. He had an unclean spirit. Here was a man, and we've touched it in nights gone past. Here was a man that was defiled. He was unclean. He had an unclean spirit. You see, this man had suddenly become overtaken. He'd become possessed with a power or powers that had totally and completely dominated his whole life. It didn't matter what he wanted to do. It didn't matter where he wanted to go. It didn't matter what he wanted to be. All these things were irrelevant, because a power had come into his life that had dominated him and controlled him and mastered him. He was totally and utterly possessed with demons. He was enslaved. He was a captive to an unclean spirit that defiled him. Just like men and women, Penny. Not that men and women in generally are possessed of demons, although I believe that the whole concept of demonology is rampant in our society today. And there's maybe more people possessed by demons than we dare think. But that's not the general. But the general situation is simply this: that men and women have got a power that's working within their very being. The power of defilement, the power of uncleanness, the power of sin, and they'll become slaves to that. The Lord Jesus says that the person that commits sin is the slave of sin. Sin has taken control of their life. Sin has dominated them. Sin has mastered them. And you know that's true today. You know that's true not only in the life of your next door neighbour, you know that's true in your life tonight, that you are mastered by the power of sin and all its uncleanness and all its defiling effects upon you. You see, the fact that this man was possessed of this unclean spirit, it was manifested in every department of his life. The way he talked, the way he acted, the way he thought, the things that he did, the places he went, his whole life was dominated by this controlling force and power that was within him. My friend, your whole life tonight is dominated by the power of sin that's within you. And that power of sin is not only within the addict and the alcoholic. It's within the self-righteous churchgoer. It's in our queen tonight. And it's in the man that stood and took our service in the great cathedral. And it's in the preacher tonight. The power and domination of sin is right through the whole of the human race. We were born in it. In the very moment we were born into this world, the principle of sin was within our nature, and that principle has dominated us day after day after day. And the sin that is within us not only dominates us, but the sin that is within us defiles us. And we've preached before in Isaiah, where the prophet tells us that we're all as an unclean thing. Oh, my friend, the defiling effects of sin in the lives of men and women.
and you think of our society, and you think of your home tonight, and you think of your life tonight, and isn't it true that sin dominates, and that sin defiles? Defiles your thought processes, doesn't it? You think of all the thoughts that have just come into your mind in the last 24 hours. There's times you wonder where they come from. Maybe even as you sit in the seat tonight, maybe just suddenly a thought rises in your mind and you wonder where it came from. It's so unclean, it's so impure. It's just the evidence of the domination and the defiling effect of sin in the people's life. And here was a man, and he was totally possessed with an unclean spirit. He was defiled, just like men and women today. Defiled, possessed, controlled by the power of sin. You ever try to break it? You ever try to break it? Those sinful habits that you know are wrong, and you have tried to break them, you have tried to turn over the new leaf, but it just doesn't work, does it? Because sin is so powerful. That operates so subtly and yet so successfully in your life and in mine. What he had in an unclean spirit. What he was defeated. Not only defiled by the unclean spirit, but he was defeated. And there he was, in the tombs, running about, cutting himself, totally and utterly defeated. Maybe that's how you feel now. Just overcome. Just totally suppressed and oppressed by the powers of sin in your life and your experience. Defeated. I was in a home this afternoon. Spoke to a young couple. They sat and they wept and wept and wept as they spoke to me. They were just defeated. They've just had enough. They'd just reached the end of experience and they had nowhere to turn, they had nowhere to go, and their life was a mess and there was no way out. They were defeated. They were finished. Maybe that's just you. That's what sin does, you know. People just come to a point in their life when they just feel there's no way out for them. They want to be better. They want to be clean. They want to be righteous. They want to have a new start. They want to have a new life. They want to have hope. But sin has just dominated them. And defiled them. And defeated them. And every day they live, there's just that heavy, black cloud of oppression over their lives. Totally and utterly. Can you imagine how this man felt every morning when he woke up? Maybe he never slept. Maybe he never slept. Maybe such were the feelings of oppression. Maybe such were the feelings of misery and agitation that were running through his mind. Maybe he never slept. That young woman that I spoke to this afternoon, she turned to her boyfriend and she says, when did I last sleep? When did I last sleep? Just totally oppressed. Life had become a misery. There was no way out. Defeated. My friend, maybe that's you today. Maybe as you rise in the morning, you're just wondering how you're going to see through another day. Is today just going to be the same as yesterday? Is this week just going to be the same as last week? Is this month the same as last month? Is this year going to be the same as last year? Is it just going to be the same for the rest of my life? Is there no escape? Is there no way out? Misery. Defeat. Oppression. Where this man was. That's maybe who you are today. Defiled by sin and defeat. Notice where he was. It says that he was in the tombs. That's where he lived. He lived in the tombs. He lived up in the cemetery. Running about among the dead. My friend, there wasn't much hope for him there, was there? There wasn't much to encourage him. My friend, he could have run up and down through the graveyard day after day for the whole rest of his life. And my friend, he wouldn't have got a word of comfort. He wouldn't have got a word of support. All around him was just death. Maybe you just feel it that time.
And all you're looking for in life is just a wee word of comfort, just a wee word of encouragement.
You're just looking for someone to love you. Someone to offer you hope in the midst of your oppression, in the midst of the darkness of experience. And there seems to be nothing.
Is it any surprising, because the Bible tells us that the world's dead. All men are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's the state and condition of men and women around. That's our condition then. Spiritually dead. Can you expect a dead man to offer you anything? Dead man can do nothing for us. All a dead man does is just give off the stench of his corrupting flesh. Maybe, my friend, you've been living among the dead, day in and day out, and all the people that you're mixing with, you know, they don't offer you anything, they can't offer you nothing, because they're just dead, spiritually dead. My friend, praise God, you've come into a little meeting thing. Because the one that's standing before you, he's alive. Oh, my friend, once I was dead. There was a time that I was dead in trespasses and in sins. And praise God, there was a moment in my life when I met the Saviour. And he gave me life in all its fullness, abundant life, eternal life. And because I've met him, and because of the change that he's made in my life, my friend, I can offer you hope. Through Christ, I can offer life and forgiveness and hope and salvation and joy and peace. I wonder if you really appreciate the privilege that you have tonight of been sitting in this meeting. I don't know the population of your Cumber, but my friend, there's only a small fraction of the population sitting here. Where are the rest? They're sitting among the dead. And you're here tonight and you're among those that get life in Christ, new life, abundant and free. My friend, there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. There's life in the Lord Jesus. There's salvation for you. There's deliverance for you. There's cleansing for you in the person of the Lord Jesus. What a privilege tonight to sit in a meeting where hope and life and salvation and deliverance is offered in Christ. Here he was. He was defiled. He was defeated. He was among the dead. And he was totally and utterly distressed. The Bible said he ran about cutting himself. He was violent. I think it's Matthew that says in his gospel, as he records this incident, that nobody would pass the way that he was going. He was violent to others and he was violent to himself, cutting himself with stones. You see, the man was just totally after the, just totally overcome. There was just no way out of it. Distress, agitation, anxiety. You can imagine there as he took up these stones, he just cut himself, he cut his arms, he cut his body, just totally and utterly distressed. Oh, yeah. You see, self-harming is not a new phenomenon. There it was 2,000 years ago when Christ was there. Self-harmers. I would just, as I look over the audience, there are people that have been through this man. I remember speaking in the wee portable hall in Comore a number of years ago, and there was some children from a children's home were coming to the meeting, some young teenagers, and I remember this young girl was put out of the meeting one night because of her bad behaviour, and I went out to speak to her. And I looked into her eyes, I said, "Listen, hen," I said, "you're just a poor, lost, lonely soul, crying out for attention, hurting deep within." As though she denied it all, with all the bravo of you. A wee while later, she came into the hall and she just rolled up her sleeves. And there they were, all cut to shreds. And all that inner hurt, and that inner oppression, and all the feelings of rejection that she'd experienced all through the years were deep down and expressing itself in the cuts in her arm. My friend, that's a society. That was a society then. Men that were restless and agitated and anxious and distressed because there was no way out. Maybe you're here tonight and you've just been there. Just turning to others for help. Maybe in the midst of your oppression and your distress and your agitation, maybe you've turned to others for help. and you discover they all just disappoint you.
Oh, here and there was a little glimmer of hope. Surely he was aware of the circumstances, aware of the terrible mess of his life, the misery of it, a little glimmer of hope, and he went after it.
And it just dissipated, it just disappeared before his eyes. Left him disappointed. And all the powers of society just failed him. Maybe you've been there. Maybe in your distress you've been looking for a way out. And I just seem to that little glimmer of hope. Maybe in a program or a reform or an education thing or maybe even a religious thing. Or maybe even some diversion of pleasure or entertainment or a leisure. And there just seemed to be a wee glimmer of hope, a way out. And you went after that. And very soon that glimmer of hope just disappeared. And you were left just exactly the same. The same misery. The same emptiness. The same bondage. The same defilement. Oh my friend, tonight, listen. Listen, the power of Satan has bound you. And all the powers of society will fail you. But praise God tonight for the power of Christ that can deliver you. That's what the man experienced. And here he is right at the end. Right at the end. He's got nowhere else to go. He's got nowhere else to turn. He's right at the end. He's at the bottom. And just then he meets the Saviour. Just then he meets the Saviour. Wonder, have you ever met the Saviour? Have you met the Lord Jesus? Have you known anything of his power in your life to deliver you from the chains of sin that binds you? Have you ever experienced the cleansing power of his precious blood to take away the defilement and the corruption of sin in your life? Ah, what a day it was when he met the Saviour. I noticed that he recognised him. Oh, he recognised him. He recognised that this man called Jesus was more than just an ordinary man. He realised that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to him, not just with another program, or with another philosophy, or with another teaching. He knew that this man would come with power. Power to deliver him, power to change him, power to break the chains and set him free. Power. Oh my friend, the one that we're teaching to you tonight is more than just an ordinary man. It's God's Son. The one that could see all authority, all power is given unto me. Tonight, my friend, the Lord Jesus is the one that has got the power to change you. He's got the power to save you. He's got the power to deliver you. He's got the power to cleanse you from your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ approached this man. He says, what have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High? What he's really saying is this, look, we've really got nothing in common. We've got nothing in common. My friend, there was nothing in common between Christ and man. The man was defiled in his sin, filthy in his sin, and the Lord Jesus was pure and holy. There was nothing in common. And there's nothing in common between us and Christ. Here we are tonight in all the defilement of our sin and the Saviour's holy and pure and precious. But how wonderful that he came to where he was. He came right in among the tombs. There it was, the area would be splattered with a man's blood. And the whole atmosphere of oppression and doom and gloom was everywhere. And right in the midst there comes the precious Saviour. I noticed that he passed through a storm to get there. In order to meet the man in all his desperate need, he'd come through the storm and the sea. And in order to meet my need as a poor, bound, guilty sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ, he passed through the storm at Calvary. He passed through the sufferings on the cross. The psalmist says as he writes prophetically concerning the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, all thy waves and thy billows have rolled over me. And the Lord Jesus, in order to meet the man's need, he passed through the storm. And in order to meet your need tonight, he passed through the storms of Calvary, the storms of awful suffering. How can we ever imagine what Christ suffered at Calvary? How can we ever plumb the depths of his agony?
How can we know the awfulness of his abandonment and his loneliness in the darkness?
There on that cross, the Lord Jesus bore our sins and his own body in it. The Lord Jesus passed through Calvary
and entered into death itself, tasting it in all its bitterness for everything.
And praise God, he triumphed over it, and the Lord Jesus triumphed over that storm, and he comes right to where the man is to meet him in his knees. And the Lord Jesus Christ has passed through the storm of suffering.
He's tasted death, he's triumphed over it, he's gloriously ascended back to heaven, and he draws near to you tonight, a poor, guilty, defiled sinner, desperate, miserable.
And he comes tonight to give you peace, to give you deliverance, to give you forgiveness.
My friend, that's grace tonight. That is grace. Grace is the unmerited kindness and favour and mercy of God towards men. Grace. Grace is a charming sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace tonight. Grasp it tonight. The God of heaven is a gracious God. He's a kind God.
And in the person of his Son, he draws near. He draws near to poor, defiled, defeated, miserable sinners like you and like me. The man looks at the Lord Jesus. He says, "Are you come to torment me?
Are you come to torment me? Are you come to judge me? Are you come to condemn me?"
The chorus we used to sing in the Sunday school with us, "He did not come to judge the world, it was to save he came in." The Lord Jesus, my friend, came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came to be the Saviour. He didn't come to be the judge. Well, there is coming a day when he will judge.
Judgment is a strange word.
But my friend, he came to save. And the Lord Jesus has come to me to save poor, guilty, lost sinners. Are you like this man tonight? Defiled? Defeated? Disappointed? Distressed? Anxious? Concerned? Miserable? Empty? Bound? My friend, the Saviour's come to meet your need. He comes in all the grace of his divine being. He's come to be your Saviour. He's come to break the chains that bind you, to set you gloriously. That was the experience of the man, and we've got his story. When the Lord Jesus left him, he's sitting clothed in his evening. All the agitation was gone, all the restlessness was away, all the distress, all the violence, it was all gone. He had peace. He had deliverance. He had salvation in Christ and in Christ alone. And what society could never do, Christ did. Christ did in a moment. In a moment. Just in a moment. That's all it takes for Christ to change your life tonight. Just a moment. That's all it takes him to change your destiny. That's all it takes him to change your desires. That's all it does to take him. That's all it takes to, for him to change you completely. Just a moment. But in that moment, you've got to put your faith in him. You've got to trust him. You've got to accept him. It's your Savior. Will you do that tonight, this morning? This morning? The Bible says now. Now is the accepted time. Now! Right now is God's day of salvation. You don't need to wait to the end to speak to the preacher. My friend, just where you're sitting in this very moment, you can know the saving power of Christ. You can know the deliverance. You can know the chains of sin being broken. You can become a new person today, because this man was a new person.
If people had seen him the next day, they would never have believed it was the same guy. He was changed completely. Everything about him was changed.
You can know that change. Just in a moment. Just in a moment. Just in a moment. That's all it takes. Doesn't take a year's reform program. Doesn't take 3 years in a Bible course. My friend, it just takes a moment of faith, a moment of trust in the person of the Lord Jesus and of his ability to meet you, a poor sinner, in all your need. How do we know he was changed? Oh, you know, the first thing he wanted to do, he just wanted to tell us. He just wanted to tell us. He wanted to tell others of the great things that the Lord had done. My friend, I tell you, if the Lord Jesus changes your life, I tell you, you want to tell us. Remote can keep you back, remote can keep you down. My friend, if Christ really changes your life, I tell you, you want to go home and you want to tell your family and you want to tell your friends, I've met the Savior.
He's changed my life, he's delivered me from sin, he's set me free, he's a glorious Savior.
And you just want others to come to know him too. My friend, that's why I'm here. Not because of my great teacher, my friend, I just want to be just like Christ. He's a great Savior. He's my Savior. My friend, I just want you to come to know him today. My friend, you can come to know him in a moment. If you'll just come in all your need, just be your first man. He'll do better for you in the world can ever do. Because what has the world done for you?
Tell me tonight, what has the world done for you?
The world's done nothing for you.
The world's let you down. The world's failed you. The world has offered you so much and it has just taken it all away.
And here you are tonight. The very fact that you're here means that somewhere deep within your heart you feel a need of being here. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. And the Lord Jesus Christ can meet that need. That deep need in your heart, the Lord Jesus can meet it. If he could change the life of the man of Gadara, public enemy number one, just a maniac. The Lord met his need. If the Lord can meet his need, he can meet your need. And he will meet it. He meets your life. You put your faith.
Jesus, Father, again, in the word and name of the Lord Jesus, we just come to thee and thank thee for the delivering power of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee that power is totally and utterly undiminished. And what the Lord Jesus did in the life of the man in Gadara, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can do tonight. We believe that, our God, without a shadow of a doubt, that the power of Christ is still available to save. And the power of Christ is still available to radically change the lives of men and women, to set them free from whatever chains bind them. The chains of selfishness, the chains of lust, the chains, of God, of addictions, the chains, of God, of sin that bind them, the chains of demons. We believe the Lord Jesus is able to deliver tonight. And we just commit, our God, to thee, every soul in the meeting that is still in bondage, that is still in slavery. Lord, by thy grace, set them free tonight and grant that there would be those that would leave this hall with a burning desire in their hearts just to tell others about the wonderful change that the Lord Jesus has wrought in their lives. So, our Father, take glory to thy name and honour thy blessed Son, we pray, in the salvation and deliverance of sinners, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.